Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is the Gospel reading from John chapter 8. And at the beginning of our reading, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And note that Jesus says this to the Jews who had believed in him. He's not battling with the Pharisees or the Sadducees in this conversation. He's talking to the people who had believed in him. And when he says these words, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free," you would think that the people who had believed in him as the Son of God, the Christ, would want to hear more. The Son of God is telling me how I will become free, so how can I know more about this? But instead, these words seem to be a little bit offensive to them. They don't really know what to do with them. We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Their response is to essentially say, "We're not slaves. So why would you say that we need to become free?" Maybe these Jews who had believed in him aren't really thinking long term. They're forgetting about the people of Israel's slavery in Egypt for many years. Maybe they're forgetting that they themselves are not the governors of their own home, but they are under Roman occupation. But for whatever reason, they're saying, "We're not slaves, we're free. We don't need anybody to set us free." But Jesus responds to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." Jesus isn't just talking about some kind of earthly slavery, but he's talking about so much more than this. Anyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Anyone who sins at all is a slave to sin. And this is something that all people are guilty of. Like St. Paul said in our epistle reading from Romans chapter 3, there is no one who is righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. So we know from the scriptures that since all have sinned, all without Christ are slaves to sin. All need to be set free. And that's exactly what Jesus offers in his death and resurrection. In his blood shed on the cross, he sets you free from the slavery of sin. And that's what he promises to these people in John chapter 8. "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And Jesus is the one who sets you free. Free from the guilt of sin. Free from death. Free from the slavery of sin and the devil. And that's the message that our text has for us today, that the Son sets you free from sin. The Son sets you free from sin so that you can abide in his word. Like he said, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples." So he sets you free from sin in order that you might truly abide in his word. Like the Jews who had believed in Jesus don't really understand that they are slaves in the sense that they're slaves to sin, we are often very good at telling ourselves that our sin is not really that big of a problem. They responded, "We're offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Sinful man is always trying to think of ways to say that our sin actually isn't that big of a deal. "I wouldn't really call it slavery to sin. That seems a little bit much. You know, maybe I sin every once in a while, but I have the best intentions at heart. You don't really understand what I meant by it. You don't understand what I was trying to do. Everybody else seems to be doing this, so it can't be that bad if it's something I do as well." Sinful man is always trying to find ways to make our sin seem like not that big of a deal. Certainly that's true for people that are outside of the church who don't know the gospel, Sometimes it even becomes true for people within the church. We're all looking for excuses to say that our sin isn't that big of a deal. The people of Israel talked like this too sometimes when they were in the wilderness. Do you remember this? They were remembering Egypt. And they were saying, well, at least we had food back there. Even though we were in slavery, it was better back then because at least we weren't starving like we are here in the wilderness. And I think in the same way, sometimes people in the church can even think about that life outside of Christ and say that it really wasn't that bad. The sin wasn't that severe. I wouldn't really call it slavery. But that's simply not the way the Bible talks about the severity of our sin. Jesus is very true and very real in describing this as slavery. Whoever sins is a slave to sin. St. Paul was very right and accurate in saying no one does good. No one seeks after God in Romans chapter 3. Our sinful human nature is so terrible, so wicked, so depraved that we are bound to sin since that first sin of Adam and Eve when they fell in the garden, and that has been passed down to each generation since. Everything that comes out of the heart of man is only evil continually. That's the severity. That's why Jesus calls it slavery to sin. And we have to recognize just how severe that sin is. We have to understand how severe it is so that we understand the problem. Because if we don't understand the problem, it really doesn't show how great Jesus and his salvation is. If we don't understand the severity of our sins, it cheapens the great love and mercy of our Savior. But if we look straight into the law of God, and if we recognize just how sinful we are, and when we recognize that God is just and right to punish that sin, it also truly shows us how great and wonderful his mercy and his love and his forgiveness are. And when we're confronted with the Word of God, and when we're honest with ourselves, we realize that our problem with sin is not just small or insignificant, it is truly great and severe. Like St. Paul says in Romans chapter 3, no one is righteous, no, not one, no one understands, no one seeks for God. And when we think about all the things that we've done, when we think about all the things that we've said, when we think about all the things that we ourselves have thought, we realize that we are sinners and truly, deservedly, deserve the punishment of God. Just like Jesus said, outside of Christ, I truly am a slave to sin. And this is kind of a depressing place to be. We don't really want to be slaves to sin. It might cause despair when we come to this realization, but this realization is essential in order to hear the gospel. And when we understand the severity of our human condition, slavery to sin. Do you really think that the solution to this would be easy? Do you think that it could really just come by a little bit of human effort? Do you really think that it could come just by us thinking about God hard enough? If outside of Christ I'm so controlled by sin that Christ says I'm in slavery, am I really going to get out of this slavery by my own works? Is it really going to be because of an act of my will or a decision by me that gets me out of this slavery? Is it really going to be because of who my family is that's going to get me out of this slavery? This is the point that Luther was at in his day when he started the Reformation. He had come to this realization, how great of a sinner he was. He had come to this despair of realizing that he was deserving of punishment and there was nothing that he could do to get rid of it. But that's also where he understood the great blessing that the gospel is. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. that Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins through his blood shed on the cross. And when we realize how terrible our sin is, it magnifies how great and glorious our Savior is. What's the real solution? It's what Jesus said in John chapter 8. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Only in Christ and through his forgiveness of sins that he won on the cross can we find our salvation. Him coming down to us, living a perfect life on our behalf, and dying in our place, that is how you are set free. The Son becoming a slave, becoming poor, in order that we might be his brothers and sisters in the kingdom of heaven. In order that we might be called children of God once again. Like St. Paul says in Romans chapter 3, that God put forward Jesus as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. So this is who you are now. Yes, you are a sinner, but you are also one that has been redeemed by Christ and forgiven by his blood. What does that mean for you? It means that Satan is no longer your master. Jesus is your master now. Jesus is your Lord. Because when you were in slavery to sin, do you think you really had a decision either way? St. Paul said in Romans chapter 3, no one seeks after God. You couldn't just decide, well, I'm going to seek after God today when you were in slavery to sin. No. When sin and Satan told you to do something, you did it. That's what the former life looked like of slavery to sin. What does the life look like now? You've been separated from slavery with Satan, and now Christ dwells within you. Like St. Paul says in Galatians 3:27, for as many of you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. St. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. 1 John 4:4, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is living in the world. You're no longer a slave to sin. You're no longer a slave to Satan. But now your Lord Christ, who loves you, is with you, and not only this, but dwelling in you. Like Paul just said in Galatians 2:20, and John just said in 1 John 4:4. And since you're not a slave to sin any longer, and Christ dwells within you, does that mean it's going to be perfect in this life? No. There are still going to be times where we fall short. In fact, it's not just going to be every once in a while, it's going to be every day. Every day we will fall into sin. It's not going to be perfect, and it's not going to be easy. Like St. Paul says in Galatians 5:17, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. So it's not going to be easy, and you are not going to be perfect in this life. In fact, the way that the Bible talks about this is that it's going to be a war. It's going to be a fight. It's going to be a battle. Christ living in you versus the sinful flesh who wants to push him out. It's going to be a fight. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be a war. And maybe that sounds scary, but I want you to think about it this way. Would you rather be a slave to Satan, or would you rather be at war with Satan? I want to be at war with Satan because Satan is a murderer from the beginning, the author of lies. I want to be joined to Christ. I want him to be my Lord, and I want him waging war against Satan for me. So don't be scared of the fight. Don't think that this is something that you need to despair about, but rather know that Christ is with you, that he is in you, that he is fighting for you and with you. He enlivens you with his word day after day to reject the lies of Satan and to reject the will of Satan. This is what he does each and every day when he gives you his word. This is what he does each and every day when he loves you, when he forgives you, and yes, when you fall, when you sin, he is always there picking you up, forgiving you, and being with you. Satan is no longer your master. Christ is. And you are led by his word. Because you have put on Christ and the Holy Spirit dwells in you, your mind is not bound to sin and the devil anymore. You are free from sin. You're also free to follow the word, to hear the word, and to believe it. And that's exactly what Jesus was saying at the beginning of the gospel reading. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So that's the great privilege that you have now today. That because the Son has set you free from sin, death, and the devil, because the Holy Spirit dwells within you, you are able to hear the word. You are able to abide in the word. You're able to know the truth, and that truth will set you free. That word of forgiveness, that word of life that Jesus wants to give you each and every day with his scriptures. Are you even going to be perfect in how much you hear the word or how well you understand the word? No, not even that. We hear, we follow weekly, but have this confidence that it is Christ and his Spirit who are enlivening you, giving you faith to receive that word. Remember that it is his power that saved you at all. Like St. Paul said in Romans chapter 3, you have been saved by grace. And then remember that it was Jesus that freed you at all. The Son is the one who sets you free. So don't despair too much about your weakness, because it's not about you. It's about Christ who lives and dwells within you, who has saved you, who now empowers you to hear the word and gives you the ability to hear the word. That word of righteousness, that word of truth, that word of life. And that word truly does set you free from sin now, from the guilt of sin now, and sets you free from death for eternity, where you will be with him in the kingdom of heaven forever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.